following sermon was preached at Christ Reformed Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you are interested in our church or would like more information about us, you can visit us online at ChristReformedChurchTulsa.org. Bibles, when I asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 26 through 31, but we're going to focus primarily on verses 26 and 27, and then Lord willing, next week we will finish up these last few verses here. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. He says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment, and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who sets aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment, do you think, will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that as we study this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would give us understanding into your word, that you would help us to understand it, and pray that you would not hide anything from us, but that you would reveal all things to us through your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us, Lord, a heart to obey, and I pray that, Lord, we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, I pray today that if there's anybody outside of Christ who does not know you, who, Lord, has turned their backs upon you or has rejected the gospel, we pray, Father, today would be the day of salvation for them, that you would show them their sins and their need of Christ. And Lord, for every believer in this room, we pray that they would persevere, that you would, by your Spirit, keep them from stumbling, keep them from going astray, and keep all of them from sin. Lord, we pray now that you would bless this time in your word, and may you be glorified in all that is said and done here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we come to the book of Hebrews once again, and today we're going to be looking at the subject of apostasy. Now, the word apostasy is simply just kind of a term that describes someone who has professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they have rejected Christ. And they went away from him, and they have abandoned the fellowship among God's people. And there are people who grow up in the church, we see this all the time, who do this very thing. They start out going to church, they hear the word, they make some type of decision, some profession of faith, and then ultimately, time goes by, trials come, persecution, difficulties, and eventually they go away from Christ. And so they go out from us. And I'm sure that each one of you have known someone like that in your life. I know that I've seen people like that. I was telling you guys several months ago about a person I know who was on drugs, who got saved and seemed to be cleaned up. At least it appeared that they got saved. They followed Christ for a little while and then lost contact with them. And then 10, 15 years later, I find out that they're no longer walking with the Lord. They've gone away from Christ. No longer are they following him. And this happens in every age. We see it not only in our lifetime, but we go back to the scriptures and we find that all throughout history, even in the Old Testament, this is what happened to people. There were people who made a profession, they committed themselves to following the Lord, and then after a time they fell away. For example, as far back as Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 13, Moses described apostates when he told God's people that there were worthless men who have gone out from among you and have seduced the inhabitants of their city, saying, "Let us go out and serve other gods whom you have not known." We find the same thing in 1 Timothy 4:10 when Paul tells us about his ministry companion, Demas. We know that he told Timothy that Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. There he was, along with Paul, doing ministry, proclaiming the gospel, and at some point he went away. He went back into the world because he loved the present world and he no longer followed Christ. Jesus also, in John chapter 6, we find the same type of thing. The multitudes were following him, and he laid down hard words, and they did not like what they heard. And so in John 6:66, we are told that as a result of this, that is what Christ had said, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So this kind of thing has always happened, even today. And this is why Jesus warned us in Matthew 24:9 that there will come a day when they will deliver you up to tribulation, and they will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. In 1 Timothy 4:1, this is what Paul said would happen. The Spirit explicitly says, in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And this is exactly what we see in our lifetime as well. Not only in the days of Paul and Moses, but even in our lifetime. I've been surprised even in the last year or two of how many men who have been like in the limelight. They have been on TV, they've been on the radio, and written books and everything else, and then they just departed from the faith altogether. And this always happens in every age. But as we come to this passage here, in verse 26, we are dealing with this very thing of apostasy. And here in these verses, just like all the verses in Hebrews, these words are here to encourage us to continue to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. These things are here to encourage us to continue following Christ and not reject the gospel. And so, I don't want you to miss all that is going on here, what he is addressing. We've already been looking at Hebrews, and you know that the situation at hand was that these people to whom he is writing are not pagans. They are not people who are out in the world, rejecting God, living for themselves, but the people to whom the author is writing are those who have heard the gospel. They have come to a knowledge of the truth. They understand the gospel. They've had it presented to them. They have received it. And in fact, in verse 32, he will say that they were enlightened. And because they received Christ, they believed, they struggled with sufferings. Some of them were publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. Some of them had been mistreated for their faith. Some had been thrown in prison. They had joyfully accepted the plundering of their property. But along the way, persecution beat them down. False teachers beat them down. They continued to encourage them to go back to the law. Stop following Christ, but go back to the law. Go back to those sacrifices, that sacrificial system that is found under the Old Covenant. Go back to the priest who offers up these sacrifices on your behalf. Go away from Christ. That was what the false teachers were telling them. And so they had come under persecution. They had not matured as they ought, and so they were in danger of falling away. They were in danger of going away from Christ and going back, continuing in sin, continuing living a life of sin and rebellion against Jesus Christ. They were in danger of all of these things. And so, many of them, as we looked at last week, were in danger of this, and it was evident because, as he says in verse 25, the habit of some was that they had neglected meeting together. They had not been meeting together with the body of Christ. And isn't this what John warns about? This is what happened in John's day when he was writing to the church at Ephesus. 1 John 2:19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. So that is the problem the author is dealing with here in the book of Hebrews. Those to whom he is writing to, they have received Christ, they have made the good profession, but they are in danger of falling away. And so they are in need of perseverance. They are in need of endurance. And so he writes to them to encourage them not to go astray, as is the habit of some, but to continue on in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways in which he encourages us is not just by holding Christ out to us. That is the primary way. But he also holds out the fact that there is coming a day when God will judge the world in righteousness. There's appointed a day when the wrath of God will be poured out upon sinners. And so we should have that day in view, knowing that there's a day coming when the wrath of God will be poured out. And if we are not in Christ on that day, we will undergo a fearful expectation of judgment. And that's what he tells us about here. Here we come to another warning passage in the book of Hebrews. So let's look at this passage together, beginning in verse 26. In verse 26, he says this: "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." In verse 26 here, he starts off with the word "for." And the word "for" is here for the very purpose of undermining, or not undermining, but laying a foundation of all that has been previously said in chapter 10. Now, what have we just learned in chapter 10 in verses 19 through 25? Well, he told us that based upon the blood of Christ that has been shed, and the fact that Christ is our high priest, we have a confidence to enter into the holy places. Not only that, but because of that, we are to draw near to God with a true heart and a full assurance of faith. Verse 22. Verse 23, we are to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then verse 24, we are to stir up one another to love and good works, and we're not to neglect the meeting together, as is the habit of some, but we are to encourage one another, and all the more as we see that day drawing near. For if we don't do these things, if we don't hold fast to the Lord, if we do not draw near to Him and hold fast to our confession and continue on in the body of Christ, stirring up one another and meeting together and encouraging one another, if we do not do that, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversary. So why are we to draw near to God and hold fast to our confession and continue meeting together and stirring one another up? Because if we go away and we do not persevere, we will fall away, and we will. And if we go away, there remains not a forgiveness of sins, but there remains for us a fearful expectation of judgment and a fire that will consume the adversaries. Do you see that? There is no such thing as a Christian who walks away from Christ and who continues in sins, but yet they get to go to heaven when they die. That's what we see here. That is the call. That is the doctrine that it continually is displayed and taught to us in this book. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. That is, those who are true believers will persevere to the end. And there is no such thing as a person who has heaven as their home who rejects Jesus Christ and who does not persevere until the end. A true Christian will persevere to the end. That is what he is saying here, and that is what he is warning all of us about today. You see that? Yes, these things are true for the person in the world who rejects Christ. The person who rejects Christ, who hears the gospel, who may not even hear the gospel, but they never turn to the Lord, that person will undergo a fiery expectation of judgment. But that is not who he has in mind here. That is not who he is speaking of here when he gives these warnings of a fearful expectation of judgment. Here the author has in mind those people who have made a profession of faith like you and I. Notice that he uses the word "we." He says, "For if we," he's including himself in this, "if we," the author, or us, or any other person who names the name of Christ, even now as we sit here, and you may be naming the name of Christ, saying that you're a Christian, these truths stand true for you and I. If we go on sinning deliberately, and after receiving the knowledge of the truth, that is the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of the good news of the gospel, if we go at some point out from among this congregation, we reject the gospel, the message concerning Christ, we will not make it. We will not go to heaven when we die. Instead, we will die in our sins, we will be judged, and we will go straight to hell when we die. It doesn't matter how much
You have believed in the past.
It doesn't matter how faithful you were in church attendance or even in Bible studies or in doing
good works. It doesn't matter what kind of religious experience you had in the times past.
It doesn't matter how joyous you once were over all the things of Christ. There have been many people in that condition, but yet they have walked away and rejected Christ. And so, therefore, they, and not only they, but us as well, will not go to heaven when we die.
Now,
there are many people who have started off well, like Judas. They were a disciple, and everybody thought that they were a believer, a Christian. But yet, just like Judas, there's been many who have walked away from Christ, and they no longer have followed Him. They go out, they reject Him, and they trade Him for a few pieces of silver, the world, or sin, or whatever it might be. And that person can be sure that they will die in their sins. And just like Demas, who was in ministry and professing to be a follower of Christ, but went back into the world, there's no hope of heaven for that type of person
who persists in that lifestyle.
There's no hope of heaven, but they will undergo the wrath of God. Listen, it is only those who persevere to the end who will be saved. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 13. The one who endures, Jesus says, will be saved.
Now, in saying all of this and reading these verses, there are some questions that come up in believers' minds. Now, there are some questions, and there's a couple of them that I want to address here before we go any further.
First of all, some people might say, does this mean that we are saved by our works? What we do? If we do this or that, and based upon what we do, then we will be saved at the end? And then the other question is, does this verse mean that a person can lose their salvation? That they can name the name of Christ, they can come into a relationship with Christ, and then at some point walk away and lose their salvation? Because there are certainly groups who will teach that
in light of these verses. But I do not believe that it is by works, and I do not believe that anyone can lose their salvation. So let's just deal with those two questions real quick before we go any further.
Can a person, is he speaking here about works, that our works are what saves us?
Well, absolutely not. The Bible does not contradict itself.
In Ephesians 2:8-9, the Bible is quite clear that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
So salvation is not by works. We've already seen, even in Hebrews, that salvation is not what any man can accomplish, no priest can accomplish, but only what Jesus Christ can accomplish.
Only He can save to the uttermost. So He's not teaching works here.
But what is He teaching? He's teaching us that if a person is a true believer, they will persevere.
If a person has truly been saved, they will not go on sinning, but there will be a transformation in their life. There will be a putting off of sin. There will be a good works rather than dead works. They will go on in Christ.
And so those who are true believers, they will persevere to the end after receiving a knowledge of the truth.
But let's look at the second question. Is He teaching here that you can lose your salvation? Well, we know that a person cannot lose their salvation, because if it was dependent upon us to keep our salvation and hold on to our salvation, we would have lost it the first day that we made the profession. In fact, we also find in Scripture in various places, more verses than I'm going to read here, that salvation,
when we are saved, it is God
who keeps us. For example, Jesus promised in John 10:27-29,
He says, "My sheep hear my voice, I give them eternal life, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand."
That is, including the person whom He has saved. They cannot snatch themselves out of the Father's hand. Then we find in John 6:38-39, Jesus said that I will lose nothing of all that God has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Then we find Romans 8:35-39 that also teaches that those whom God has saved, He will not abandon them. He will not let them go.
Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? Shall tribulation,
or distress,
or persecution, or famine, or
nakedness, or danger, or sword, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things that come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And then we find in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, that as a believer, we were sealed with a promised Holy Spirit,
who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. And in that same chapter,
it is God who chooses us, it is God who saves us,
and it is God who seals us with His Holy Spirit.
And then there's Paul, who says in Philippians 1, 6,
"And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So here we have just a few examples in Scripture of verses that teach that God, those whom God saves, He keeps firm until the end. They will not be moved. So the Bible is clear that we cannot lose our salvation. So what is He teaching us here? When He says that if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, that there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment. What is He saying here? How do we interpret this? Is He saying that we can lose our salvation? No, He's not doing that, because Scripture does not contradict Scripture. But what He is saying here, He's holding out the truth that those who are believers, who've been truly born again, they will persevere. And not only that, but He is speaking here from the side of human responsibility. There is God's part, that God does keep us. It is God who does save us, choose us, and keep us firm to the end. But also, there is a responsibility on our behalf to hold fast the confession of our faith, to draw near to God, and to stir one another up as we see the day approaching. So we have human responsibility, and we have the sovereignty of God, both taught in Scripture. And these two do not contradict each other. This is why Peter said in 2 Peter 1:10, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." So there we see God's choice of the person, choosing the person, but at the same time, we are to be diligent about making our calling and our election sure. And so we see both of these things taught side by side. We see those verses that see things from God's viewpoint, that is, God in Christ sees us legally not guilty, that we are saved by Him, that He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. But then there's also the view that where He sees us actually as being in the world. And so both truths are presented to us in Scripture. So God saves and keeps those He has chosen in Christ, and those whom He has chosen, those who are truly saved, they are will also exercise their will in holding fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will persevere to the end. They will not go away. They will not fall away, but they will be kept firm to the end. So, yes, we cannot lose our salvation. And yes, if God has saved us, we will persevere. But yes, this is and also an actual warning. We shouldn't just throw this aside and say, well, this is not a warning for me because God has saved me and so He's going to keep me. Yes, that is true if God has saved you. But this is an actual warning that is given to us to bolster our faith, to encourage us in our faith, lest we fall away from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at what this actual warning says to us in verse 26. He says here, if we go on sinning. Once again, he's including himself in this warning. If we go on sinning, if the author goes on sinning, if you and I go on sinning after we have made the good profession, then we will not have the hope of heaven.
If we reject Christ, we reject the gospel, the knowledge of the truth that we have come to, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins.
Which would include everyone. This is true of everyone who has heard and understood the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, the Bible warns us about this, doesn't it?
In many places. In Matthew, I believe it's chapter 13, in the parable of the soils,
we know there are those who will hear the word,
they will receive it joyfully, and yet after a while, after trial and tribulation comes along, they will wither away. They do not have a root system. They fall away because they're not truly saved.
So there are many who have professed faith in Christ
who will go away.
But we who have professed faith in Christ,
we are to hold fast to Christ lest we go on sinning deliberately.
So the idea here isn't that a sinner can't be saved when he says that they're
No longer remains a sacrifice for their sins. We know that the sinner can be saved, right? That's why Christ came. He came to save sinners.
But those who reject Christ, where else are they going to go? I mean, think about it.
This is what he's actually saying here. That if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins.
This is the ultimate sin that cannot be forgiven.
That is apostasy.
If we go out from Christ, where is there going to be a sacrifice for our sins?
That's basically what he's saying here.
There's no sin that cannot be forgiven.
Every sin can be forgiven.
But the only sin that cannot be forgiven
is if we reject Jesus Christ. If we go away from him, just like these people were tempted to do,
where are they going to go to find salvation?
There no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins if you go away from Christ.
Because he is the only one who can save you from
your sins.
It doesn't matter where you go.
If you go back to the Levites, that priesthood who offered up the blood of bulls and goats. It doesn't matter if you go to another religion. None of those things can save you from your sins. It doesn't matter if you go out and you try to be a good person. That cannot save you from your sins. So if you go on sinning deliberately, and you go away from Christ after receiving this knowledge of the truth, there's no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins.
Because it is only Christ who can save you from your sins. Now, he says if we go on sinning deliberately, this is what happens. There's no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. What was the sin that they were committing that was
deliberate,
willful, as some of your translations say? Well, the sin that they were committing, we know in the context,
was they were going away from Christ. They were tempted to go back instead of forward. They were tempted to go back to the law. Back to the law. And the law can never save. That's been the whole point.
The Levites, these priests, they could not save. And not only that, but the sacrifices that they made, those bulls and goats, the blood of those bulls and goats, they could not save. And so that is the ultimate sin here, sinning deliberately, going on in willful rebellion,
going away from Christ, rejecting the truth of the gospel. The gospel is to be something that is obeyed.
But here they were in danger of going away. And so they were in danger of losing any hope of having their sins forgiven. Because hope is only found
in the Lord Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins is only found in Jesus Christ.
And so that's why we must hold fast the confession of our hope. It doesn't matter if men come against us. It doesn't matter if we're persecuted or affliction or trials comes along or we're thrown into prison.
We must continue to hold fast to Jesus Christ because only in Christ are we saved.
Now, look at all of this in light of
what he says in verse 25. We're to do all of these things in light of that day that is drawing near. That is the author's focus here throughout the book of Hebrews. And I would even argue throughout Scripture, that is the focus. The focus isn't how you can have your best life now or how you can have five ways to do this or that to improve your life. That's not the focus of Scripture. The focus of Scripture is God has made you, man has sinned, and yet God has provided a way for you to be forgiven, to be saved from the wrath to come. God has provided a way for you to draw near to him and be reconciled to God, that you might
come into that relationship that you were made for. That's the focus of Scripture, not this present world.
Yes, the Bible speaks to this, the things going on in this present world in our life, how we ought to live and so forth. But the focus of it all is that there's a day drawing near. There's a day of judgment that is coming. And in light of that, we must not go on sinning. We must not continue in willful, deliberate sin of any kind.
Now, if we go away from Christ, all kinds of sins will follow.
Anytime someone continues in sin, they're rejecting Christ.
There's no such thing as someone who is come to be a person who has become a Christian, and yet they continue to live in willful, rebellious sin. That is what is so wrong in much of the gospel preaching today. One, the gospel is not preached a lot of times. But number two, we have been taught a cheap grace that you can go on sinning. You can continue in sin, but grace may abound and still go to heaven. And so there's no call to repentance. There's no talk about that day that is drawing near when Christ will judge the world in righteousness. And so all of that gets neglected. And people think that they can be a Christian, go on sinning deliberately, go on continuing in the world, and yet so long as they made a profession at some point in their life, they are okay. These verses teach the exact opposite. The focus here is that there is a day coming, a day of reckoning, a day of when God will judge the world in righteousness. And there are people who laugh at this idea today. I heard a preacher, a Baptist preacher, a few years back, about 10 years ago, here in this area, in one of the bigger churches, who said, yeah, the old preachers, they used to preach hellfire and brimstone, but basically we don't do that anymore. That's a thing of the past. That's over. But notice what the author does here. He warns us about that very thing. And as I've already pointed out a couple of Sundays ago, he has warned throughout the book of Hebrews that there is coming a day when God will pour out vengeance and wrath upon the adversaries. And he does it here. He says, if we go on to sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. But what? What is there that remains? A fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Notice there he says it will consume the adversaries. You are either for Christ or against him. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. You're either with me or you are against me. Those who reject Christ are the adversaries of God. Those who continue to live in accordance to sin, those who go back to the law as these people were to do, as Paul says in Philippians 3:18, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Anybody outside of Christ, if you are here today outside of Christ or you reject Christ, you are not for him, even if you think you're neutral. You are an adversary. And what will God do to those who are adversaries? He will pour out a fury of fire upon them. He will pour out upon them wrath for all eternity. And that's what we see here in verse 27. There will be a fearful expectation of judgment for those who go on sinning willfully, and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. This is the reason why it's so important for us to cling to Christ for salvation. Because the day is drawing near. The day in which Christ will return and he will come and judge the world in righteousness. And we see here that that day will be a fearful day for those who are outside of Christ. Those who do not have their sins forgiven. It will result in being thrown into fire. A fire that will consume the adversaries. And on that day, Christ will judge every sinner. Every person who has not had their sins forgiven, he will pour out wrath for all eternity, and it will never let up. It will be a place that where there is the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, for only those who are in Christ, only in Christ is the forgiveness of sins found. Only in Christ can a person find redemption. Only in Christ are we made fit to stand before a holy judge. Without him, you and I have no hope of salvation. That's why the Bible says in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So we must hold fast to Christ. We must continue in the faith. We must draw near to God. We must stir one another up, because a day is coming, a day of wrath, and it is coming quickly, and it is upon us. The day will come, and he will consume the adversaries. Now, as I said, there's not much talk about this these days. I mean, when was the last time you heard a sermon on hell and judgment? But as we see here, these are a reality. Even if our current culture, our current culture in our churches, and it doesn't want to admit it, it doesn't want to talk about it, this day is coming. But the cry in most pulpits today is peace and safety.
peace and safety. Everything is going to be okay. You guys are all okay. Here's your few verses. Go out, live your life, come back here next Sunday, and we'll do it all over again. And everybody's good. No one's a sinner. Everybody's all right. God's just a loving, gracious God. Yes, He is. But there's also another side of God. It's just as equal as His love. That is, God is a God of wrath. God is a God who will punish sinners. God is a God who will, not let the wicked go unpunished. He is the judge of all of the earth. And He will do what is right. He will punish those who are outside of Christ. Those who have rejected the message of the gospel. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ. They will wind up on that day without salvation, without the forgiveness of sins. And they will undergo a fire that will consume the adversaries. We must not forget this. I mean, can you imagine what that day will be like? As the Bible says here, it is a fearful expectation of judgment. A fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Later on, He will even say, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That's the way the Bible portrays this day for those who have rejected Christ and those who are outside of Christ. It will be a fearful day. It will be a fearful day because if you wind up on that day without Christ, you will stand before God like stubble before fire. You will stand before God, your Creator, the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, the one who has made heaven and earth, who brings forth thunder and lightning, the one who has made the sun so hot that you can't even get close to it, the one who has done all of these things, who gives the sun its heat. He will be standing there, and you will be standing before Him as well. And the only way to stand before such a holy God, an all-powerful God, is to be found in Christ. Only in Christ can we stand. Only for those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who have not, those who have rejected Christ and went out from among us because they were not of us, they will undergo a fearful expectation of judgment. Let me just read to you a little bit more about what that day will be like. Revelation 19:15 says about that day when He comes forth to judge the nations. From His mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. Zephaniah 1:17-18 says, I will bring distress on mankind, so that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of wrath, the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of this jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full and sudden end He will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. The truth is, it is a fearful day for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. For those who have departed from the faith, but it will be a fearful thing for those because God will pour out His wrath upon them. And it won't be for a moment. It will be for all eternity. As Matthew 13:40 and verse 42 says of that day, just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and law, all lawbreakers, and throw them into a fiery furnace. In that place there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The same chapter, Matthew 13:47-50, it says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered a fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down, and they sorted the good into the containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. So, for those who reject Christ, the judgment of fire and wrath will be poured out upon them. Upon those who have rejected Christ, who is able to save their soul. But as we read in 1 Thessalonians 1:7, of that day also, they will hear these fearful words. And to you who are troubled, Paul says, rest with us.
when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. That is the warning for us here today. We must cling to Christ. We must hold fast to him. We must draw near to him.
And we must encourage one another as we see that day approaching. Because why?
For if we go on sinning deliberately, that is, if we reject Christ and continue in our sins after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no forgiveness.
If we continue living our life apart from Christ, where are you going to find forgiveness apart from Christ?
It's nowhere to be found. It's only found in Christ.
And if you go on sinning and living your life the way you want to,
a day will come and a fearful expectation of judgment will fall, and there will be a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. It will consume those who are enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ are those adversaries. They are those enemies. And so, it's all the more reason why we must cling to the gospel. We must persevere in the gospel. And if we are true Christians, we will not go on sinning.
We will not continue in sin that grace may abound, but we will hold fast to Christ. We will live holy lives. We will live lives that are in keeping, that bear fruit in keeping with repentance,
if we are a true Christian.
This is why it's so important
that if we have made a profession,
that we look at our life and there be repentance.
If there is no repentance in our life,
if there is no holiness,
you will not see the Lord. In fact, the Bible goes on to tell us the same thing,
that without holiness, it is impossible to see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
There's no middle ground. You are either for Christ or you are against him. And the reality is,
hell is real.
The wrath of God is real.
The day is coming and it is drawing near. It's not a day to be scoffed at. It's not a day to ignore. But it is a real day
and it is drawing near. And so we must now, at this very hour,
hold fast to Christ if we have come to the knowledge of the truth.
And if there's anybody here today, anybody even watching on Facebook or listening on sermon audio,
if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may know the facts of the gospel.
You may have come to the knowledge of the truth that way,
but you've never trusted in Christ alone to save you. You've never repented of your sin. If that is you, today is the day of salvation.
Today is the day to run to Christ and find the forgiveness of sins.
And there is forgiveness to be had. But if you reject Christ, there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins,
because where are you going to find it? Salvation is found in only one person,
and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has been the argument all throughout the book of Hebrews.
Only in Christ can we find the forgiveness of sin, because it was in Christ
that a single offering has been made.
An offering of the shedding of his blood,
the offering has been made that can take away sins.
And he can take away your sins. And he can clothe you with his righteousness.
He can take away your sins and your lawless deeds can be remembered no more. And on that day you can stand.
It doesn't have to be a fearful day, but it can be a glorious day if you're in Christ. A day of rejoicing, knowing that on that day, all the inheritance that he promised you will be yours. On that day, you will see the grace of God fully displayed, because you will escape the wrath of God.
And you will be forever with the Lord.
So if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him today. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and repent of your sins, lest this day come upon you like a thief. It's going to come upon many like a thief, and many will not be ready.
But may that not be you.
And if you are a believer here today, this is,
in light of these warnings,
this is all the more reason why you must draw near to God, to find grace to help you in that time of need,
to get through this life with all of its trials and afflictions and tribulations.
This is why you must hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering. When men come against you and tell you that you must renounce Christ, you must hold fast to your confession. No matter what happens, even if you die, you must hold fast to that confession. It's why you and I must
not neglect the meeting together,
as is the habit of some,
but stir one another up. to love and good works.
Because the day is coming and we don't want to see anyone miss that day. May we do these things as we see the
day drawing near, knowing
that for those who walk away, there is nothing but judgment to be had. But for those who are in Christ, there
is the forgiveness of sins and there is a glorious day coming.
Let's pray. The Father, as we come to you, we thank you for your word.
We thank you that it is
sure and active. Lord, it is able to penetrate our hard hearts. And we pray that it will do that very thing even today. And help us to see the importance of holding fast to Christ. Because, Lord, only in Christ is there salvation. Only in Christ is there the forgiveness of sin. Only in Christ is there grace and mercy to be had. Lord, I pray that for every believer in this room and every believer that is listening, that, Lord, you would give them a heart to seek you, a heart to know you, a heart to hold fast to you and not waver and not go back to this world like so many have. We know, Lord, that there has been so many who have walked away from Christ after having made a
profession of faith,
and after persecution has come, after their heart gets tempted by the love of money, the pleasures of this world, and they have walked away from Christ. May that not be any of us. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that is without Christ, we pray that your word would go forth, or would have had gone forth in conviction and power. And we pray that, Lord, you would use it to bring them forth, to grant the new birth in their life, to create the new birth by your Spirit. Lord, we ask all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray.